I'm Manx Radio's election producer, Amy Griffiths, and you're listening to our general election candidate interview series. In September, the island will vote to decide who should gain a seat in the House of Keys. And ahead of that, we've invited all the candidates to take part in an interview where we can find out more about who they are and why they're standing. Today, we're hearing from Oliver Lockwood, who's standing in Onchan. He's been speaking to John Moss.
Oliver Lockwood, welcome to the studio. Just tell us a bit about your background. Where are you from? What brought you to the island?
I lived in London before moving to the island 8 years ago, and my background is in financial services, so that's what brought me to the island.
But different, the Isle of Man to London, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So how did you find it when you came here? A bit strange?
I find it a refreshing change. I could, for the first time, walk outside my front door and be on open moorlands within 2 hours.
Oh, right. And the security, obviously, in the island is much better as well, I would imagine, as well.
Yeah.
Why did you come up here? Did you come up to a job or what? Or did you come up looking for work or what?
I came here looking for work.
And you got it?
Yes.
Obviously. You've been in the commissioners for how long?
Since last year.
How did you find it?
I find it interesting. Solving a broader range of problems than I experienced simply by working in insurance.
It must be difficult though, go straight into politics, not being used to politics before.
Well, I think being part of local government is a useful experience for entering into national politics.
Do you get on well with people? Do you talk to them? Can you chat with them?
Yes, I think since I've been on Onchan commissioners, the relations between the members have improved significantly.
What stage do you think Onchan commissioners fine, but I want to step up to the House of Keys? When did that thought cross your mind?
I think by serving on the House of Keys, I would be solving higher profile problems, and I would have greater impacts.
Just let me go back. How would you define a member of the House of Keys? What do you think their job is, a member of the Keys? Is it national? Is it local? What?
Part of it is representing constituents in the local area, but an important part of it is challenging the government on both legislation and on policy matters.
Do you think as a MHK you could do that? A lot have tried.
Yes, I think I would scrutinise legislation in detail and come up with challenges that others would possibly overlook.
But then you have got to persuade other MHKs and other members of Timbuktu to support you. Otherwise, those changes would never happen. Are you able to do that?
Yes, I would set out clearly the reasoning behind my proposals.
And persuade people by your reasoning.
Yeah, yes.
Be able to take people with you, you feel. Just ask you a phrase that's in your manifesto. It's about a third of the way in. If I'm not elected, then I believe my life serves no purpose. That is dramatic stuff. People will read that thing. Goodness, what does he mean by that? What do you mean by that?
But I do not believe that there is any other way for me to bring my policy ideas to fruition other than by entering the House of Keys.
So getting some power, you think you need it to actually get your ideas through?
Yes.
Well, we'll talk about your ideas in a minute. But first of all, a couple of major things which are obviously very much of concern to a lot of people. Can I ask you your views on the wind farm? What do you think? Yes or no?
I need to be careful about giving a public position either for or against.
Yeah, but people listening will think, what is his position? If he's going to be our representative, we need to know what his position is.
I think the economic benefits need to be weighed against the adverse environmental effects, particularly if power from the wind farm is not to be brought directly to the island. But I don't believe all the information needed to do that is in the public domain.
So did you have access to it? Can you dig it out?
It's commercially sensitive information.
But just looking at the idea of these enormous things in the sea off the Isle of Man, bringing benefit to the Isle of Man, but some people saying visually intrusive. You must have a view of that.
There would be adverse visual impacts, probably most severely affecting people in Garth rather than Onchan.
Oh, Onchan, they could see the sea from Onchan in parts of it. They'll probably say, yeah, I'd be able to see it.
Garth is the constituency most affected.
So which side do you come down on? Which is the balance at the moment? Where is it weighed to?
I don't believe I can give a definitive position. It could prejudice the decision making process if I did.
When they come to a decision, presumably, it'll be too late.
Well, this decision will be made by the Council of Ministers, and if the decision is to approve subject to conditions, and those conditions will require the approval of Tyn Wald.
Right. Well, let's move on to the other big subject that, in fact, at the moment is continuing to be talked about, and that's assisted dying. Obviously, it's been to the UK. They've brought it back again, said no, it doesn't pass muster with the European Court of Human Rights. What is your view on assisted dying? That is a very contentious issue.
My view is that agreement can be reached with the Ministry of Justice because they have set out clearly what the amendments that they're expecting to see. I would expect that the bill will gain royal assent, and it will be for the next administration to develop supporting.
But what about you? What do you think? Would you, if you were sitting there and you had a vote, would it be for or against?
It would be to ensure that supporting regulations are.
That's not what I asked you, really. Are you in favour or against? Because it is a very black and white issue, isn't it?
I think I would have to accept the decision made by my predecessors to support the bill.
But if you go down knocking on doors in Onchan and they say to you, what are you for, assisted dying, etc., what would you say? The same you've said to me?
I would answer the question in a way that reflects the actual decisions that will need to be made under the next administration, which is to develop the supporting regulations, which would need to provide robust safeguards. But at the same time, they shouldn't impose safeguards that are so severe that it would make. That it would mean Monk's Care couldn't provide an assisted dying service at all.
So you're saying it should be workable. If it goes through, it should be workable, which seems to imply, yes, you think if it is a workable system, then yes, you'd say yes. Or am I putting words into your mouth?
Yes, that is broadly what I'm saying, yes.
Well, let's go back to one or two of the things you've got on your manifesto. Let's have a look at health, first of all. The Public Health Directorate has commissioned several research reports identifying intervention that would improve population health. I'll just go on. However, many of these interventions have not been progressed since there's no means of prioritising them objectively against other policy initiatives. What do you mean by that?
I think a good example of this is around active travel because the Public Health Directorate have produced reports emphasising the importance of active travel to public health, and the reason why active travel initiatives haven't progressed has been that the benefits have been seen more in terms of climate change, which isn't necessarily as a strong argument for active travel because with electrification of the vehicle fleet, it won't make any difference.
You strike me as a cyclist, you're not, are you?
No, I'm not a cyclist, but I'm a walker.
You're a walker. So you see, it's important. I mean, you would choose to walk where you can for health reasons. You think more people should do that?
Yes, I think so.
Do you think they should be said, yeah, go on, do a bit of walking, get yourself healthy? You think that's a good idea?
Yes.
Yeah. So health initiatives, etc. Let's have a look at enterprise. Now, you say, I believe the department should develop a support scheme for businesses seeking to make their management reporting consistent with their published accounts. What does that mean?
Because I think this is a key reason why businesses fail, or at least why businesses incur financial losses, because it means that the way they're being managed is inconsistent with what is actually needed to demonstrate their financial position to external parties.
I would judge you're fairly interested in financial matters because obviously it's your trade, etc. So you are keen to make sure that finances are dealt with adequately and businesses don't go under because they've not got the right, what, advice, what?
I would say that because of how businesses run, there tend to be issues around the fact that, around the fact that the way decisions are made are inconsistent with how the financial position of the business is actually.
So they get the wrong decisions are made and they don't work properly or they don't work well for businesses. Yeah, it's a difficult question and it's a difficult one to answer as well. If we just go on to the environment. Now, obviously, we're talking about bio, about climate change, etc. What do you think? Do you think a lot of people say the island's too small and it would be too damaging to its finances to try and make a big impact on climate change? What's your view? Do you think, yes, no, they should do any or what? Or they're right?
I think the need for net zero targets in the Isle of Man is primarily driven by the need to maintain a strong international reputation.
So we do what we're told, basically.
Well, it is essential to the economy because of multinational enterprises with sustainability as a key part of their strategy operate here.
So we must get a reputation and keep it. Make sure we keep it.
Yes.
Well, what are we doing wrong in that regard? I mean, there used to be a time, a long time ago, when the island was regarded as a shady area, but now obviously we have a lot of regulation. Do we have too much regulation?
I think a lot of regulation has needed to be brought in to comply with international standards.
We do lead the pack, though, don't we? We do have more regulation than some other jurisdictions. Is that damaging to the amount of money we get to crossing our threshold?
I don't think that the island is over regulated in all areas. As it has a separate legal system, it's not obliged to follow UK legislation in every respect. And in some places, it takes advantage of its separate legal system to regulate more lightly.
Now that's interesting. So we're able to do that because people do get the impression we just do what the UK tells us to do, but we can go our own way if we want to, can we?
Yes.
In what regards? In finance? In what? In
I'm familiar with financial services regulation and how it is more suited to the types of business operating on the island with clients from a large number of jurisdictions.
Let's move on to health. I mean, we've already touched on it, obviously, with recycling, walking, people maintaining their own health. But as far as the health system is concerned, you say it should be placed on a more financially sustainable footing. Well, interestingly, of course, Tim Waldoni in June basically asked for another few millions, etc., and it continues. Manx Cares asked for a few millions more and continues to ask for more. Do you think people should pay for a proportion of their health costs?
I do think that people should pay when they have sufficient income or assets to do so. I don't think people should be required to face catastrophic costs on their own, but there does need to be, but individuals do need to contribute to make the healthcare system financial system
a form of means testing to see how much they can pay.
Yes.
So means testing, obviously, a lot of people cast their eyes up at that. But do you think that's the way forward to get people to pay for what they can afford in health terms?
I think a solution along those lines is needed to ensure that healthcare doesn't continually overspend its budget.
Well, what if it continues overspending its budget? Would you say, OK, enough's enough. You just have to make do with what you've got, even if it means cutting services?
Well, in principle, the overspend could be eliminated by imposing charges. There are questions about what the level of those charges should be. that the overspend could be eliminated.
Couldn't it not be also arrived at by making services more efficient, by thinking more carefully about how you use the money you get?
There are always means of achieving efficiency savings, but the fact that the budget has been consistently exceeded suggests that there hasn't been a failure of a particular management team to achieve efficiencies, but the problem is more systemic.
But Manx Care was created a number of years ago to sort this all out. It's failed, has it? Has it?
I think it has made progress, but not enough progress to eliminate the overspend.
Ramsey is at the moment debating its future of its hospital there. Is the island big enough to having a hospital in the north and a hospital in Douglas?
I don't think Nobles Hospital is big enough to serve the entire island population. I do think there is a need for another facility, and whether that is in Ramsey or not is a valid question, but not something that can be changed in the long term.
One of the local members has suggested it's time to go for a new hospital up in Ramsey, and he points out that when Ramsey's not operating, and it hasn't been operating top speed for a while now, so much more pressure goes on Nobles Hospital that Nobles gets swamped. Would you agree that points towards the need for a second hospital?
Yes, I'd agree that the current position with two hospitals is not something that can be changed in the short term.
Right. So, speed limits. Here's another big talking point: 20 miles per hour. Of course, the minister who tried to bring that in is no longer the minister. 20 miles per hour. What is your view about speed limits around the island?
I think the way the previous proposals were brought through was inadequate, because it sought to apply international best practice to the islands without.
What's international best practice?
In terms of residential roads being at 20 miles per hour or 30 kilometers per hour. But the island has a problem because main roads in built-up areas usually have houses facing.
You say in your manifesto there are houses, rows with houses looking on, and they regard what is the main road in effect as their sort of front road, and that's a problem you feel.
Yes, so the decision as to whether the speed limits on those should be lowered is finally balanced. But I think there are also residential roads that are not in new housing estates that are still at 30 miles per hour, and I don't see why those speed limits shouldn't be lowered.
Let me mention the S word, speed cameras. What's your view on that? A lot of people say put a speed camera in and you automatically get people driving slower and more safely. Your view on that? Or is that impinging civil liberties?
I think speed cameras are a valid means of enforcement. They will only work if drivers expect that if they pass a speed camera at above the speed limit, that the law will generally be enforced.
But the effect of having a sign up saying speed cameras in operation and people knowing speed cameras in operation, this seems to have a marvellous effect on some speeding drivers.
Well, to the extent that speeding can be addressed by simply making drivers aware of it, the smiley Sid devices achieve that effect. So it's not clear that
smiley Sid. I remember that. What were the smiley Sid devices?
That's a smiling face when they're passed at
that's right.
The speed limit,
when you're at the right speed limit, or but you're a frown if you're not. You think those do the trick, or do people just ignore them and say, well, it's nothing to me, I'll just carry on driving?
Well, I think that they have the same effect as speed cameras would if without enforcement.
Really? You think smiling cameras have effect? Because we have those on the island, obviously. So we don't need speed cameras if we've got these smiley, grumpy faces.
I think the speed cameras will be more effective than the smiley SIDs if there is proper enforcement.
But what do you mean by enforcement?
Often speed cameras only operate when there's filming them. So
they're not much use. Well, you say that, but if I saw a speed camera, I must admit, and I'd check my speed straight away just in case it was working. Do you not think even an empty speed camera has an effect?
Well, the public has to have to believe that the law will be enforced.
Yeah. Okay, we'll go on to finances, individual, personal finances, personal allowances. Now, one of the things you talk about is you feel it should go up each year so that it doesn't get stopped, which it has done on occasion, and held at a level. Why do you think that's important?
Well, because prices increase with inflation, and if personal allowances don't always increase with inflation at the same time, then that is not actually a neutral position. It means that people are paying more tax. So the default position should be that the allowances increase with inflation. If that's not what's happened, then that is a policy change.
Did you sit down and listen to the budget each year and think, well, that's iffy, that's okay, that's right, etc.? Do you do that? Do you listen to the detail? You look like a details man to me.
Yes, I do.
So has the government got its details right?
I think that there are a number of these issues around amounts not increasing with inflation, as well as income tax, which I've mentioned. There are also some social security benefits which don't automatically increase, and there are also certain fines that don't automatically increase.
Fines.
There are certain fines specified in regulations that are outdated.
What are we talking about? What areas are we talking about?
I don't have any
clue. Well, for not paying tax or not paying this or not paying that or that sort of thing.
There are certain penalties specified in legislation that have not been.
They're not being adhered to. They're not being enforced.
Not being updated. So the amounts are no longer sufficient for the seriousness of the offence.
Right. Immigration. People coming to the island. There was this famous figure of 100,000, which either was or was not stated, depending on your point of view, for the island. Is that the sort? Growth is important to the island. Do you think we should be aiming at a higher population? At the moment, the population is either where it is or just going down a bit. Where do you think the population should be heading? Up, down, where? Staying level, what?
I think a target of 100,000 is too simplistic, because it needs to consider what the composition of the population should be, and whether the population has the skills that the economy needs.
But if we need the skills, we presumably need to attract people in, and if that means the population going up, then do we have to learn to live with it? Do we have to get the logistics to actually cope with that?
I think it depends on which sectors of the economy experience growth, because some sectors are more labour intensive and others are more capital intensive.
Which is the good area for the island, do you think, looking around? Where do you think we're doing well at?
Well, from my background in financial services, is an industry that's relatively amenable to automation through AI.
That was going to be my next subject, AI. Your thoughts on AI? Obviously, quite a few people are apprehensive about the effect AI could have. What's your view of AI?
I think businesses need to think carefully about which aspects of their work can be automated and which can't, because processes that are more routine can be automated and human, but judgment doesn't add value. But there are also processes where human judgment is key, and AI doesn't.
But once you've let AI in the door, can you actually get it to say, no, don't do that, don't do that, just do those things? AI might run rampant because it is such a powerful tool.
There's a need to keep suitable controls in place. If AI is not making the decisions that a human would make, then we need to understand why and if necessary curtail the use of AI.
I have heard that AI makes decisions behind your back almost because it thinks for itself, which is the danger. Do you think that's a danger? Can AI, will it always be subservient to humans, or is there a danger of it taking over, like the computer in HAL in the 2001: A Space Odyssey, taking over?
There need to be checks and balances in place to ensure that AI is only used in situations where it can validly replace human judgment.
So we are in control of AI. We tell it what to do. It doesn't tell us what to do. Onken, which is the constituency that you're standing for. What are the issues, you think, in Onken that you think need someone looking at closely?
I think that Onken has not made progress in terms of developing new social housing because of issues with central government in terms of the Department of Infrastructure's petition procedures which take a long time to complete.
So social housing, do you think it should be building more social housing in Onken?
Well,
expensive stuff, isn't it? Social housing.
Yeah. The point I'm making is that Onken commissioners have a desire to build more social housing, and that it is not progressing as a result of delays in the petition procedures.
In planning, you talk about as well. Is planning a problem for the island? Does it need looking at?
I think that there are some proposals that seem to be straightforward because they're in line with how the land is already being used, but they're having to be referred to the planning committee on a technicality, which is
I mean, you say
process.
Some things shouldn't have to be referred to the planning committee. Too much is referred to the planning committee. Am I again putting words in your mouth? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
I think I read that in your manifesto.
Yes.
So brownfield sites, how about them? We need to crack down and get those all filled?
I think it is important to develop those, but both because of the positive environmental impacts and because it makes economic sense.
Oliver Lockwood, it's a big job being an MHK, 24/7 days a week. Would you look forward to it? I mean, if you walked in that door of the House of Keys, would you say, yes, I'm in there, I can do something? Or would you think, oh my goodness, what have I done?
Yes, so I think I would be able to generate a wide range of policy ideas. I would recognise that they would not immediately come to fruition, but if my initial ideas don't come to fruition, then I would work out an alternative way forward, and I wouldn't give up.
So you'd be pragmatic as an MHK.
Yes.
If something you went for something and it didn't work out, you'd think of a way of doing it, but progressing in another slightly different direction.
Yes.
That was Oliver Lockwood, who's standing for election in Onken. Also standing in the constituency are Rob Callister, Gabriella Corkish, Julie Edge and Rachel Glover. This interview, along with all the others recorded as part of this series, will be available shortly after broadcast from your usual podcast provider. And don't forget, you can find out more about the general election on our dedicated website, which you can find at manxradio.com.